And we are back. Second base of Bowman and Burks.
How's everybody doing? Once again, it hadn't been a month before we recorded.
I know, just a little over a week this time due to some sickness and weather and some other things, yeah.
Yeah, but we were here together Saturday.
And just play some Madden, old Madden. You know, I can't afford the $59.99 for a game that's basically obsolete now since the season's over. So,
Do you think they'll ever have like a Madden subscription to where you pay whatever per month and then it?
I wish they would. I think they're getting to that point to where you just buy.
They pretty much have to.
A blank disc and you just download the roster updates.
Yeah, that's whatever all it'll be.
Updates. Yeah,
it'll be live and you won't even actually have the game. They'll just have the subscription.
That would be fun, but that would cost too much money. But again, it's Madden, so it'd be like $10 a month.
Yeah, $10 a month. If you play it very often, that's no big
deal. I can see it. So, I pay for it. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, because I mean, how much is the regular Madden game?
$60.
$59.99. So there's 6 months worth right there. But you get updated, and maybe they can set up a deal with the XFL and get XFL players too.
No.
Why?
That's a whole.
Are you against the XFL?
I'm not against the XFL. I probably watch more XFL than you have.
You probably have.
I'm not against it at all, but that's the issue. The XFL shouldn't try to be the NFL and vice versa. So the two should remain separate. So, yeah. No, I don't like that idea. But if the XFL were to find a way to make their own game, because apparently Doug Flutie has his own football game.
Really?
Yeah. I heard it's decent at best. It's like a $20, like Xbox One, PS4. He's got a cheap, you know, $20 entry-level football game that, you know, you can play. Let me see what it's called. But, yeah, Doug Flutie has a
Couldn't he have just had an app for that? And, I mean.
But it's on consoles. It's not it's not a simple, you know. I mean, this Madden's got an app. You can play Madden on your phone.
Can you use a controller?
Yeah, I think. But it's not like the same type of Madden that you play on a home console. It's more like you kind of pick the plays and it kind of does it on its own. Or I never played it.
That's kind of the way I play Madden anyway.
Yeah. So we've been playing Madden 18 with Tom Brady on the cover. That's how long ago. It's before they got beat by Philadelphia. Yeah. That's that game. Actually, I think it was that game. Madden 18. Yeah. It was Madden 18.
Is 18 that? No. 18's the Atlanta series, right? Season, right?
Yeah. Well, it's based off the 17 season. So, yeah, it'd be the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots.
That's the one where New England come back.
28-3. Yeah. Yep. 28-3. So, it's that game.
So, in good news, I guess you can look at it as good news. Ryan Newman had that crazy crash.
Oh, that was so nasty.
So nasty. I mean,
here's the thing about Daytona. Well, first off, our president was there, and he was there. Did he, like, drop the flag? Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, start your engines. Did he do all that?
I don't know if he dropped the flag. I know that he drove the presidential limo, took the first lap.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds very MAGA right there.
So, well, what are you going to do?
I mean, when in Daytona, do what Daytona do.
Make NASCAR great again?
Yeah, there you go.
I'm good with that. But no, anyway, the big news is the Ryan Newman crash. It was apparently crazy. Flipped up, rolled. The car looked horrible. And they got him out, took him to the hospital, and today he's awake and responsive. So it's non-life-threatening injuries. I don't know. It may be career-threatening, but it's not life-threatening. So, but that's about all there is on that. Everybody's kind of...
Ryan Newman.
Yeah, Ryan Newman.
You said Randy Newman.
No.
Okay. I'm looking at YouTube trying to find it, and I'm like, Randy Newman, that's the dude that sings all the cute Toy Story songs.
I have no idea who Randy Newman is. Me.
You got a friend. I can sing without being copywritten, so okay. Stop. Ryan Newman. Yeah, I heard about it. I saw the crash ever so briefly this morning, getting ready for work, and because the Daytona 500 got delayed. It was apparently a little rain delay Sunday, so they didn't get to finish it, so they had to finish it up yesterday, Monday. And that's probably apparently when it happened. And I'm not a big NASCAR guy. I'm sure y'all can tell.
Right. I'm not either.
Every time I think NASCAR and I think car wreck, I think Dale Earnhardt Jr.
No, you think Dale Earnhardt.
Well, Dale Earnhardt. I mean, I think Kemp Jr. too, because he kind of never lived up to his dad's legacy, like the way people wanted him to. You know, he drove the Mountain Dew car. I remember that.
Well, I mean, it's not like – I don't think Dale Jr. ever had a chance to live up to his dad's legacy. He could have won more races and everything like that, and he still wouldn't have been his dad, because his dad was a NASCAR legend.
Yeah.
When he had a cool NASCAR name.
Was he the Intimidator?
Yes, he was the Intimidator. That's correct. But, I mean, like I said, he was NASCAR when NASCAR was really popping.
Mm-hmm. It was.
So NASCAR has a brand problem. I mean, they're.
Yeah, because for a while, who was the Rainbow Warrior? Jeff Gordon.
And
everybody hated him because I guess he was too pretty or.
Well, too, I mean, nice, he was just a.
Too the rich kid.
Something.
The whole California kid, whatever.
And then Jimmie Johnson, like, dominated the sport and won however many consecutive cups. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
He was always there. He's kind of like the Patriots. That was just what he did.
Yeah, I remember dating a girl long before I met my wife. So she's not going to listen to this, I can tell it. So I was dating this girl, and her mom were both like huge NASCAR fans. They're huge Dale Earnhardt and Dale Earnhardt Jr. fans, and they hated Jeff Gordon and all that stuff.
A lot of people hated Jeff
Gordon. Yeah, I don't know why. Well, anyway,
kind of did.
I remember, like, being funny, they're talking about NASCAR, and I was like, you know, left turns aren't a sport. And you thought I would have said something about Jesus and God and was blasphemous against the church.
Yeah, we don't want to get into too much of this, but could I go out on a limb and guess that they were white?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
And it was basically, so throwing a round spear and another round spear as a sport. Dudes hitting each other, chasing a pigskin's a sport.
See, I was like, people that like NASCAR, man, people, you don't mess with their NASCAR.
They
dude.
Were in it. They had to, like, she had the collectors, like the perimeter plates.
Yeah.
Hey. And all that stuff. Like, man, okay, I'm just going to.
Hardcore, brother. Yeah. Hardcore.
Hardcore. So, yeah, I wasn't.
You didn't know what you were getting into.
Yeah, I didn't. So, the only thing I know about NASCAR is Talladega Nights. And.
See, like, you didn't even. So, as a kid, you didn't even watch, like, Days of Thunder.
No, because I thought it was Top Gun on wheels, but Top Gun was cooler, so I didn't get into it.
I don't know. Days of Thunder was pretty cool.
I tried to watch that one. It was not. It's Formula One racing. It had Chris Hemsworth.
Driven or something.
No, that was a different movie. That was Stallone, I think.
Stallone was in that, but he wasn't the main.
It wasn't
character.
Driven. That was another movie that came out a few years ago after, you know, Chris Hemsworth Thor. Came out.
Oh, okay. Now, Stallone did a pretty cool deal in Driven to where he'd drive up and flip coins out of the car, mm-hmm. and then he'd come through and, like, be humming, and anyway, he'd pick them up with the tires being hot.
Yeah.
He'd come by and pick them up to where they were all on the tires whenever he got finished his run.
So that'd be fun. I mean, I think NASCAR's cool. I think that Ford versus Ferrari movie, if I ever get a chance to rent that, would be pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day, too.
Because I haven't watched a lot of movies as of late in theaters, which is kind of sad.
But I would say NASCAR is one of those things that you need to go to one.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like hockey. Not a huge hockey fan, but if you went and saw a game, you could get into it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can watch hockey. Yeah. I don't have a problem with hockey. I mean, Waco used to have a Waco hockey team.
Yeah, well, you could watch NASCAR, too, if you got to go and experience the whole thing.
I guess.
Because there's a bigger tailgate scene at NASCAR than there is at any football game you want to go
see,
to.
See, I think that would be the thing. I think the experience of being the fan at a experience. Race, with not necessarily watching said race.
Maybe.
Because I wouldn't know.
Now,
what I was
they do some cool stuff. I guess they still do this when they were trying to help its popularity back in the day. They would give you a radio or a headset to where you could hear your team, like your mm-hmm. driver and your crew chief and everybody talking.
Yeah.
So that's kind of behind the scenes before anybody else had people mic'd up.
My thing is, like, I don't know who the guys are now.
Well, you'd figure it out pretty quick.
I know you would, but like you said, a branding issue would be the fact that, you know, when you're talking about a sport, if there's no name or names attached to it, good guys, bad guys, villains, you know, stuff like that. I don't know anybody. So
yeah, I've sat here and tried to think of sports that are better, like if you go and watch them and experience them. And I've pretty much come up with like three sports.
I would say golf.
Golf is one.
NASCAR and hockey.
NASCAR. Well, we'd already talked about hockey. So I was going to say
cricket.
like PBR or bull riding? One of the big pro rodeos. Yeah. That's something when you're there, it's awesome. You get to check it out.
Yeah, I will say that. I've been to a few rodeos.
See what I'm saying? To where the atmosphere there and what you get into builds a lot.
I've been to a few local rodeos and been like, why am I here? But then you get into it like, wow, this is.
Yeah, if you actually.
I don't get it. I don't see how they do it. I remember.
I mean, they just hold on tight.
No, I get that. But I remember in high school, this is kind of. How this is going to go.
Did you ride a bull in high school? Is this where this story's going?
No, but I remember eight seconds and that Lane Frost guy.
And that
being a thing. And I was like, what? And like, people did what? Like, you ride a bull on purpose?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's dangerous. You grew up in dangerous.
The country too. I mean, you grew up like more in the country than I did.
Yeah, but not that country.
Okay, not that kind of country.
But no, so I watched, I went to a couple of rodeos. My wife was kind of in it. She's done county fairs and shows and stuff. And I'm asking all these questions. Like, she would ask me questions at a basketball game or a football game.
Right.
Whatever. And it's pretty intriguing. And, like, one dude rode his bull, and he got bucked off real fast. And he was really upset. And I was like, what is he so mad about? And my wife's like, we probably paid a bunch of money to enter this contest, bull riding contest. And that was his one shot to place, and he sucked at it, so all of his money went down the drain.
Well, I mean,
like, what?
A lot of times you're just mad at yourself, I would
think.
Well,
that too, but it seems like you don't, like, you know, you don't get, like, five chances. The, you know, basketball game, you know, if you miss a jump shot, you'll get another chance down the floor to do it again. Football, you have another, you know, another series. Baseball, you'll probably have another at bat. It's
right,
early.
But this is a one-shot.
Bull riding, you got to shoot once, and you don't do what you're supposed to do, you're done for the day.
That's right. So it's whoever has the best ride. That's
like, son of a, like, you pay like tons of money to enter. Well, between there's a lot of money that goes into it.
There's a lot of money that goes into traveling.
Traveling and having a nice trailer and your saddles.
Well, so here's the deal. Bull rider doesn't have a trailer or a saddle, man.
Well, you know, but the other.
Because you hadn't watched a bunch of movies about bull riders, because they'll ride around in Cadillacs and stuff like that. They just show up with their rig. Sit there, hook it up.
All the other dudes who are roping and
now all those guys, looking at high dollar horses. You're looking at all kinds of stuff, and then to go rodeo, you've probably got some kind of camper with it, and somebody. A lot of times, you know, I mean, it cost a bunch of money. So
I rode an electric bull a couple of times, and that was fun.
An electric bull, okay,
yeah, that was fun. I didn't go 8 seconds though.
Had to be alcohol involved in
that
deal.
No, it was like a Santa shop.
A Santa shop had a bull?
Yeah, I mean, a mechanical
bull. Kind of Santa
bull.
Shop were you
It was
you
like
at?
In the one in College Station, Santa's Wonderland.
It had a bull.
At one point, yeah, we were waiting in line for a bull riding pit.
Okay.
A little mechanical bull, and I rode it for like, I got a video somewhere.
Okay. All 8 seconds you made?
Oh, no, I didn't make it, no.
Okay.
Probably made it five.
Okay.
Which is probably four.
It's like, well, have you ever seen Urban Cowboy?
I've seen parts.
Okay. So there's a mechanical bull movie, bull ride movie right there.
That was the thing?
Yeah.
That was it?
That was the thing, man.
Okay, I didn't miss anything. Cool.
Oh, you need to watch it. I mean, it's great.
Is that John
Bubba
Travolta?
And Sissy, John Travolta, yeah.
Sissy Spacek?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it Sissy Spacek?
Let's find out.
Maybe. I don't know how our sports podcast got off on Urban Cowboy, but that was one of my mom's favorite movies growing up, man. So I had to watch that thing all the time.
That thing's old.
We had it on VHS.
It's a 40-year-old movie.
They used to sell the little license plates that said Bud and Sissy.
Oh, it's Deborah Winger.
There you go.
Scott Glenn's in it. I'd watch it for Scott Glenn. I like Scott Glenn.
Which one's Scott Glenn?
He was Wes.
Oh, so he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Bad guy. Who's his uncle?
Let me just hit another button.
Okay, you got to get deep into the cast here. It's got some fairly big
Charlie names. Daniels was in it. Okay.
Charlie cool. Daniels played at Gillies.
Barry Corbin or Mickey Gilly?
No, Mickey Gilly, man. Don't say Mickey Gilly like you don't know who Mickey Gilly is.
I don't know who Mickey Gilly is.
Oh, my goodness, dude.
I'm going to look this up.
Come on. The honky-tonk scene back in the 70s.
I was an 80s baby, so how would
I
know that?
Yeah, I was too, but I'm just telling you. Ever heard of like clubs called Gillies?
Yeah.
Okay, that was him.
I never went to one. That so again, was him.
They have one at, I think, Choctaw up in Durant. Up there at the casino, I'm pretty sure they have a Gillies.
I will look that in, look into that next time I'm in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean,
it'll be a while. So
maybe, maybe not. You don't know. Your mother-in-law could go up there anytime.
You're my mother, you know darn well that my mother-in-law is not going to Oklahoma.
Well,
she doesn't like it.
Oh,
for some reason, she likes to bounce around a different. She likes Shreveport because she can bounce around to different places.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
She don't like Choctaw. There's just one.
Last time we went up there, anyway, she said it was too much walking.
Yeah, because it's only one building. She likes to find her.
It's one huge building.
Yeah, it's one huge building, not like 18 different tiny casinos. Yeah. She hates Margaritaville too.
Does she?
Yeah, she didn't like it.
I
didn't like Margaritaville.
I liked if Margaritaville is, if we're going to go over there, I still don't know how we got off on this. But anyway, if we're going to go over and stay in Shreveport, that's where we'll try to
yeah,
stay.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But well, they don't stay.
But the reason we'll do that is because there are little River Center malls right there and all the shops and you can go to everything and walk. That's what we end up doing or try to do when we're over there. Last time we had to stay at the Horseshoe, but. Either way,
I'm gonna look up.
It's definitely not because we're going over there gambling and making a bunch of money. It's
yeah,
just something.
So that's why I don't go because I lose all my money. I lose $20 and be like, I'm done.
Yeah, I'll lose a little more than that. I used to be bad. I used to.
I know. I've heard stories.
Yeah, I should have called one of those hotlines. But I mean, it's one of those things, man. Where when they give you those chips, it's like it's not even money anymore.
Yeah.
You just,
like, oh, this is. Yeah, it's like going to take your kids to Chuck E. Cheese or whatever.
Yeah.
Look at tokens.
Tokens.
I need more tokens, but no, these tokens cost money. No, they're not. You just cost more tokens.
And even if you have a bunch of tokens, it doesn't really matter. It's all the thrill. Yeah. Sometimes with a gambling issue, it's just as much watching them take them away as it is give them to
you.
You
got to know when to hold them.
It's kind of the same feeling.
I can't sing that song either because I'm not paying copyright.
It's all about the action, man.
Yeah. So you got that. So yeah, this episode's already kind of gone.
We're kind of getting there, yeah.
Yeah, kind of, we went. NASCAR and bull riding and urban cowboy, man.
Casinos. I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot of stuff. When people said I'm going to listen to this episode, they had
no idea they're going to get into. That's what puts you on, you know, the dial. That's what puts us on the dial. Like you don't know what's coming up next. Bam. Like yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like more than bam. I mean, I don't think we're really out there. Bam. Oh, speaking of that, I have a bam moment.
Okay.
Okay. After our last episode, I can say with 90% confidence that Take Five suck.
That's blasphemous.
The Hershey candy bar Take Five is not good.
No, it's good. You just
it's not.
You're just a hater.
It is. I mean,
see, I almost thought about
it's mediocre. It doesn't have a lot of flavor to it. They found a way to like screw up a pretzel. I mean,
what are you okay? Next episode, I'm going to bring Snicker bars and Take Fives.
Hey, I've had like four. Oh, yeah. Bring them in here. And you know what we'll see when you bring them in here? That they can't do math at Take Five.
Okay, why can't they do math? Because it's got five. It's got a number in the name, so they
can't
do math.
That's not it. It's because every other candy bar you get, if you get a king size, it's double the king size. If you get a king size Reese's peanut butter cup, you get four cups instead of two. If you get a king-size Kit Kat, it's double the Kit Kats. If you get a king-size Take Five, it's three. The regular comes with two, and the king-size is three.
Are they bigger?
No. It's the same.
So
they don't alter their manufacturing process at all.
They don't add an extra pretzel in there to make it a pretzel
no,
and a half?
No, it doesn't. It's all the same rectangle pretzel with whatever's in it. And I'm telling you, most overrated candy bar that I'd never heard of before the Super Bowl ad that I can think of. For you to be such a fan of it.
I enjoy it. Like, I'm not going to back down from it. I enjoy the candy bar. I'm not going to back down from it.
Well, you don't have to back down. I just.
It's not a Twix. It's not a Mr. Good Bar, but yeah, I'd put it up.
Okay, so just so we know, like, Twix and Mr. Good Bar, your top candies?
Oh, yeah.
Candy bars, that's
it. Twix is my number one candy.
I like Twix. It's not Twix is my number one.
I like that cookies and cream they got right now, too.
Not my number one.
It used to be M&M's back in the day. I can't stand M&M's now.
Oh, I still love M&M's.
I can't do M&M's.
Still love M&M's.
Like the hard candy coating.
So pretty much my top candies would be Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
It's in my top five, yeah, but not one.
Or M&M's. That's kind of my go-to right there. Peanut butter M&M's. Let me be specific.
No, I couldn't do that.
So, I mean, I don't like, M&M keeps trying to do things with different flavors. I'm not a fan. You put peanut butter in it, you got it right. Just leave it
alone. I think I like M&M's, peanut M&M's the best back in high school because I could buy it at lunch and stick it in my starter jacket and get a little thing at a time and fake a cough and pop a few in my mouth to eat and not get in trouble. That's why I like M&M's. But yeah, now I don't have to worry about that.
Now, when were you doing that?
Junior high and high school.
Junior high, yeah.
Yeah, I had my starter jacket.
Yeah, starter jackets were real popular.
My Philadelphia Eagles.
While you were stuffing M&M's in there and coughing and doing all that, we got in trouble on junior high. May have been junior high. Pretty sure seventh grade. We got in trouble. We went and watched Apollo 13, I want to say. And dude snuck beers in their starter jackets and were drinking them in the bathroom.
Wow. I can't say what might have happened in my classroom.
Right, but that was hardcore back then, man.
Yeah, back then, yeah. Well, things have changed. Times have had changed.
They're still hardcore today. It's just different hardcore.
Yeah. I think kids back in our day were worse and did more outlandish things.
You think worse?
Yeah, I think so.
Because, I mean, people talk about how bad kids are today. So.
Oh, I'm not saying they – I mean, I work at a high school. I'm not saying kids can't have the propensity to be bad. But I think the issue was the bad kids were bad.
Yeah, I mean –
like, you know, like you said, like brazenly IDGAF kids.
Yeah.
So – you got a couple of those now, but they wouldn't do what kids back then were doing. Like, I don't think a kid's going to sneak, like in class, they snuck beer into the school or at the theater?
They snuck it into the theater. They took it on the trip, on the theater.
Now, nowadays, kids would just get drunk before they got to the
okay,
bus
well,
to get on.
I mean, I also know some people way back in the day in band trips that got in trouble because they had put alcohol in shampoo bottles and were drinking it on the bus. And these are people that I consider friends and intelligent people to this day. And that was one of their not so intelligent moments.
Yeah. I would think most kids nowadays would just get drunk before.
Maybe.
And then they probably have it with them on the trip, but they would definitely.
Yeah. Not giving anybody any ideas, but I mean, it started with, they would take sports drinks, pour half or three quarters of sports drink out, add alcohol to that.
Yeah.
So
that's why you can only have clear water in class.
Right, which, I mean, looks just like vodka. But
you can freeze water, so.
You got to freeze it? Is that what you got to
do?
Y'all keep freezers in there? Your water didn't freeze. It's some kind of special
thing. I have a kid in my class that would put, like, creatine in his water in my class. He's like, Bryce, you got a piece of paper? And he'd make a little funnel. Creatine, some water, sports drink packet. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I'm trying to get bulky, get bulk. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. All right, 25 minutes in, we've been talking about everything but some sports.
Well, I mean, but we were on the same topic here.
Yeah.
Of
Take Fives are good, by the way.
Okay. Anyway, crappy sports opinion over here. But on the same subject of people sneaking alcohol in and doing things wrong, let's talk about the Astros.
Oh, yeah. They can. Oh, man.
What? I mean, what? Man. Their owner is. He's got to be somewhat intelligent. He's a billionaire.
He's a billionaire. Yeah, he's got a lot of money.
Let's having a lot of money doesn't make you intelligent.
Well, I mean, he's got to be intelligent to earn a lot of money.
Necessarily, he's definitely not great in press conferences, and I don't know who wrote stuff down for him, but directly asked about how the cheating scandal and sign stealing affected the game. He said, I don't think it affected the game. And then on the very next question, like 15 seconds later, he's asked, well, why would you say it didn't affect the game? I never said it didn't affect the game.
Yeah. So, see, yeah, I heard that. I heard the whole press conference was just garbage.
Yeah, yeah. And the they guys, didn't know them. And the
they did no favors.
Vegas come out today or yesterday and set the odds on the number of times that Astro players will get hit.
See, I was just about to say that.
Because they, last year it was like 42 or 43. And this year it's in the 80s. They're thinking. Yeah.
Well, that's what I think. After all this has gone on, that's one of the things people were talking about, how Rob Manfred, the Major League Baseball's commissioner, has basically said, you're going to get the maximum penalty if pitchers go after players throughout the season, which meant, you know, free between the lines, which meant, hey, Yankees, Dodgers, every team in Major League Baseball, don't throw balls at Astros batters.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen a lot.
It's got to. I mean,
and I would love, because
Manfred's leaving it to be settled on the field. I mean, that's
like, yeah, I would love to watch the Astros play anybody. They're going to be must-see TV this season.
Maybe.
No, they're going to be. Because you're wanting to see what's going to happen. You know,
the only thing on that is Altuve is a small target to be getting thrown at.
You can just duck. It's kind of like this.
I mean, you're going to have to aim for like his thigh or something. But what a guy this character is, man. Like, you start seeing in adversity, like, people's true colors, and oh, my goodness. Have you heard about the whole tattoo thing?
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. That's stupid.
That's why he didn't want his jersey tore.
Because an ugly tattoo on his collarbone.
Hold on. There are pictures of him, like, in July when he didn't have the tattoo.
Yeah.
And he had to get it before now in order to be able to say, no, that's what I was doing. That's why.
Yeah, like, I saw that picture's like, as the comment, I want to hide a tattoo. And then, like, he's, like, standing with a bunch of dudes in a lake and everybody's got their shirts off. And he's, like, the guy in the middle that's, like, a foot, two feet shorter than everybody else. And he's, like, there's no tattoo on your collarbone. There's nothing there.
It was in the works. We were working on it. That's why I didn't want to see it. Unfinished. Didn't want the unfinished tattoo to be seen.
So that's just dumb. Like,
So the theory goes now, like they've set it up. I mean, they've shown it. I forget who the guy was that put it out there on Twitter, but he had the pictures of him in the game to where earlier in the game, he had on an undershirt and under his jersey. And then in the later innings, it shows him without the undershirt on, just on his jersey. Now the theory on this is that he couldn't feel the buzzer through his undershirt. So he pulled his undershirt off to where he could feel it from his jersey. And then hits the walk-off against Chapman. And instead of, while he's getting mobbed, tries to hold his jersey on and then runs to the tunnel, puts on his undershirt, and then comes back without his jersey on. I mean, this whole sequence of events is crazy.
It's so... Everything's been going on with it is so crazy. Like I said, crazy.
But one of the things is, I think it goes so much farther than just the Astros that Manfred doesn't want to punish them just because they were the most successful at using it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think a bunch of people were doing it. A la the only person to come out and say, hey, why don't we not be so hard on these guys, is J.D. Martinez, who is with the Red Sox, that we already know was doing the same crap when they won in 18.
So why aren't they catching flack as much? Because we're not...
Their investigation isn't over and their ruling hasn't come down.
Okay, so I was wondering
when that happens, it'll be just as bad for them.
So
it's going to be funny when the evil empire, the Yankees, are like the only one standing from all this going, I can't believe we weren't doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But that leads me to believe that I can't believe they weren't doing it too.
Too, yeah. I mean, it's, I guess it's one of those things, like, until it's a kind of a, I mean, we as fans kind of just like disregard it, but everybody's still in science. It's been done forever. But when you create a sophisticated system to do it,
it's the electronically relaying the message, yes.
And you exploit it in a way that no one has done it before, and the results of it end up with you winning a championship and your at home batting percentage being statistically like almost an anomaly in a sense, that you're so much better at home than you're on the road hitting the ball, like not, you know, 100 percentage points, 300-400 percentage points better, that it raised some eyebrows. You said, like, you said the batting average for the right, you said it, I think, last time, or somebody was talking about how they're hit batting over 400 at home and then just under 200 away. So, I mean, it's 200, so the numbers probably
that may have been like a certain player.
But, yeah, still, but still, yeah, like, team, you, yeah. That's a big jump. That's two extra hits for every 10 at-bats.
I know.
That's a lot.
It's definitely a big deal.
That's a whole
But I don't know. Like I said, I've heard a pitcher say that he would rather him be
I'm juiced up.
He'd rather him be stealing signs than juiced up.
Really? I thought it'd be the other way around.
He would rather you know what's coming and him try to make the perfect pitch and you miss than you just be physically advanced to where whatever comes, you have a better opportunity.
I heard that same thing, but I've heard the opposite.
No, it was
that a batter a pitcher would much rather you be juiced than know where the pitch is going to be.
No. And all they're doing is what the pitch is. It's not where it's going to be. Location can't be relayed and all that.
That's true.
So, and all, most people go back to the same thing. Mariano Rivera only threw one pitch. You knew what was coming every time, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he threw at 108 miles per hour, over 100 miles per hour. I guess it doesn't matter what you throw.
Well, I mean, that's the deal, too. Yeah, I mean, if Chapman's throwing, it's coming in fast, you've still got to get the bat to the ball.
So, can I ask this question?
Yep.
Did this come about more since Major League Baseball started doing the analytics more so this last handful of years in terms of just throwing out as many pitchers as possible during a game? Is that a thing? Like, is there a correlation there?
I don't think so. The correlation to this came up whenever they started allowing, like, replay booths. I mean, that's where all this come from, is they were watching the replay camera had a camera shooting at the catcher signs.
Yeah.
So because of that, this past year, they put a delay on it. Now, a lot of people are saying that's why the Astros had to change to the little
buzzer thing
because you had to relay it quicker.
It's crazy I'm pretty sure at some point every team did something. I don't know if it's as sophisticated as a buzzer or a trash can banging.
And some of the systems may have been way better and their people just didn't have the talent to do as much with it.
But it's just crazy that you look at a sport, like say, but let me ask this question, like, would it ruin the integrity of the sport if you found out that every team was doing it?
For me, no.
Yeah.
I'm also a guy that steroids didn't ruin the integrity of the sport.
But I'm saying, like, I think if you got to the point to where every team was like, we did it. We did something.
I mean, look, they're trying to find ways to make baseball faster and more. Hey, why don't we just put up there what it is? Let the pitcher and the batter, catcher, everybody stands, everybody knows this is what we're calling for.
I think
why would that be a bad thing?
Spin the wheel, like, this inning, you can only throw sliders. Well,
maybe, what if you get a pitcher and can't throw a slider?
And then you're just out of there.
I mean, but I wouldn't have a problem with them saying, hey, look, this is what it is. I still want to have this idea, and if anybody does it, I want to get some kind of royalty off of it. I want to have a steroid baseball league.
Yeah, me too.
Your players would be healthier. They would always be available, and they should be better at what they're doing.
I still think that baseball should cut their season about 20, 30 games.
Nobody wants to give up that kind of revenue.
I know they don't, but
But if nobody, look at it, nobody starts a baseball league to compete with the MLB.
No.
There's just nothing that even comes close. Because they own all the smaller, like, leagues.
Yeah, yeah, there's nothing you can't get into it. Like,
I think you could. I think you could have to have, like, maybe older retired people, possibly, and do it to where it's more of a home run derby-ish.
Maybe like a rock and jock baseball league game thing.
Like bring out.
Very gimmicky.
Your stud pitchers, even if they're guys that couldn't make it in the show, but they throw hard or they have nasty stuff.
Bring John Rocker back.
I mean, you know, just bring somebody out there, put them up there, and let them throw. And that's, I don't even care about fielding. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To a large extent. You just have an awesome pitcher go up there and an awesome batter, and y'all get after it.
We'll just do like home run derby baseball.
But I want the pitcher to have some importance in it.
Yeah, I'm saying let's get your best batter and give him 10 swings of the bat against the best pitcher and just have other dudes run around the base.
Well, but I mean, I don't even know as though you'd need bases. I mean, like, I think there should be some kind of game to where it's just these guys going out there against the best pitchers.
We're
going to
create basketball, too.
Well, pretty much, I guess.
We're going to create a new sport. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, there's got to be
you
a
get
way.
The pen and the pad at work, and you start, you know, doodling, and we'll,
okay,
we'll
yeah,
make it happen.
I'll try to work on that. Because, yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, there's something for that. If you could go to a place to where you knew this guy was going to hit a bunch of home runs, and that's pretty much the whole point of him being up there. He's either going to swing and miss or he's going to knock it out of the park. You could use juice balls. You could do whatever and make that a spectacle.
You know the funny thing about all this is? So, what? Well, not so much funny, but it is kind of funny. So, within the midst of all this stuff with the Astros, I mentioned it to you earlier, someone has been suspended by the league.
Yeah,
Houston with the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros have suspended a player the league has been suspended a Astros player for the entire season for doing a horrible, horrible thing.
Taking PEDs. Yep.
They lost their
season.
It's
like a pitcher that's in the minor league.
Astros right-hander Francis Martez has been suspended for 162 games without pay for violating MLB's drug prevention and treatment program. This guy's coming off Tommy John surgery and a prior suspension and has not pitched since 2017.
Yeah. So there you go. He was just trying to get back.
Yeah. So he hit the third suspension? Or the second one?
First one's 50 games.
80.
80?
The first suspension, if you don't know, in baseball, with this new PED thing they had a few years back, the first suspension is a big chunk, 80 games. Second suspension is an entire year. And a third suspension, you're actually banned for life.
Yeah, until you get reinstated.
Yeah, like you're gone.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of bans, we can transition right into this.
All
right. Your boy, Myles Garrett.
Ain't my boy.
He's your boy whenever he starts acting crazy like this, man.
No, they ain't my boy. I've
never
been a Myles
Garrett
fan.
Tomlin called him to the carpet?
Oh, yeah. Had to. I'll listen to Gullick and Wingo this morning. And they had Ike Taylor on talking about all this. And he said something great about the whole situation. So if you haven't heard, of course you have. Myles Garrett's been reinstated by the NFL. He may be suspended by a few more games this next season. Probably not. But anyway, and as soon as he got reinstated, he started running his mouth saying, yeah, Mason Rudolph did say a racial slur to me.
I think that's one of the reasons he thought he got reinstated, so he thought he had to stay with his narrative.
Yeah, so he called me the N-word, and I hit him upside the head. A stupid N-word, and I hit him upside the head with a helmet.
His helmet?
Yeah.
Pulled his helmet off.
Now, at this point, Mason Rudolph is basically saying, hey, dude, you keep saying that I'm going to sue you for slander and defaming my character.
Yeah.
And they don't care. So, apparently, ESPN did a piece with Myles Garrett about all that happened and this and that. And Tomlin has apparently had enough of it. And he's like, I'm going to talk to Stephen A. Smith on First Take. I'm going to get this taken care of. And Ike Taylor, who used to play for the Steelers, said something great. Like, what was Tomlin trying to say in the midst of all this? He basically said this. You now know where Coach Tomlin stands.
Mm-hmm.
You know his position on it. He doesn't have to speak on it again. the distraction for him is now gone. And I was like, that makes sense.
I don't think it is. It's not gone.
I mean, it's not.
Everybody's
I mean,
going to talk if you're about it. They're going to play two times this year.
They're going to talk about it, but they're not going to. But if you're as Coach Tomlin, what are your thoughts on the? You saw the ESPN.
I think what Tomlin had to do was get out ahead of this, because nobody else on the field has backed up Garrett's story. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, and a lot of the guys that were out there, I mean, it's not like that would play in his own locker room. You know what I'm saying? So I think Tomlin had to get out there and be like, look, y'all are saying this. There's nothing to back it up. You're tearing this guy down. And we for sure would have a problem with it. It's not like we as an organization would tolerate that from one of our players.
This is what this is a quote from Tomlin talking to Stephen A. Smith. This is from the Big Lead. It says, quote, "It was a thorough investigation done by us in the National Football League. I don't think that this was represented during that piece," Tomlin said. Quote, "Nobody on that field as a member of the Cleveland Browns or the Pittsburgh Steelers corroborated with what was said by Myles Garrett. It was found by us in the National Football League, and at no point during this piece this weekend that was stated," end quote. So, like, Tomlin's just basically saying, he's saying what he's saying, but –
we can't just believe every time somebody calls that.
He's saying that my quarterback, backup quarterback Mason Rudolph, said this horrible thing, but nobody
else besides Myles Garrett that he said
is right. Saying that he said it.
Not his teammates, not his, you know, our guys.
Here's the thing, and I've watched enough NFL films and know dudes say stuff to each other a lot.
Yeah, yeah,
a lot. That may not be the N-word, which for many people would probably be the dirtiest and ugliest and nastiest word in the English language. But I've seen dudes say some things. I heard them say some things.
Well,
like,
okay,
oh,
and here's the deal, too. Marquise Pouncey was in the middle of all this. What if it was him that said it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
he's literally right there in the middle of it. So if it was said,
yeah,
should have heard it. And if he's the one that said it, then Garrett's mad and smashing the helmet on the wrong.
But here's the interesting thing about that word in particular and how it's being used in this context.
Right.
A quarterback who just happens to be white and an NFL player, a defensive player who just happens to be black going through this. I teach English. I try to get my kids to read Of Mice and Men, the book, John Steinbeck, 1937.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the play fairly well. The book's very similar. And we're reading through chapter one. I was out sick. I had the kids read chapter two. I read chapter two before I went back to school to kind of refresh my memory of what, you know, was going to happen.
Right, where you were at.
Well, page 20 of this particular
book. I mean, you were remembering some very specific details.
The top of
1937, first of all, you just dropped that on us, threw it out there. Yeah. And then page 20, okay.
Page 20, first sentence, they referred to a black stable boy as the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it, and I heard it, and I was like, oh, crap.
You're like, I forgot that was there.
And then you read through more chapter two, and it shows up a few more times, referring to this man as the N-word. And they also talk about a female as a female dog, and they also use the Lord's name in vain quite a few times, and other expletives and things like that. So I basically have a discussion with my kids in class discussing words, and the N-word was a big one. And my African-American students, when I told them, like, hey, who read chapter two? And most of them didn't because I wasn't there. So I was like, so you don't know what's on page 20? Like, no, what's on page 20? And I said the, quote, N-word. I didn't say the actual word. I just said the N-word. And my kids lost it. Wait. There's a reason why the word was used. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's good. But again, look at the time period. Look at the context in which the story is being told. Look at all these things. I'm not saying it's right, but what I'm saying is for that time period, the way it was written, it's a justified word. It's like everything else in the story. You just see the word. You don't see everything around it. But here's my issue. You have your AirPods in, and I know you're listening to The Baby or 21 Savage or whoever the hot dude is right now, and every other word, the N-word pops up. And you're perfectly fine with not just hearing it, but reciting it out loud in my classroom while I'm trying to teach.
No, they wouldn't do that.
No, they're like, they're in the corner, like, not like shouting it out to the masses.
Right, yeah, I got you.
But like, they're saying, like, so we have an issue here. But again, it's like a word, that's a powerful word.
And we've had this discussion before, yeah, too. And I know it's a powerful word for a lot of people, but where does the word's power come from?
The context of which, the connotation of what it means.
It's
to
all
people.
What you put on it, right? Yeah. What it means to you. Cause
I heard a long time ago, yes, you are who you answer to. So,
and we live in a culture that it's exactly like what they want to do. Tell me something that I can get upset about, infuriated about, and then I don't want to hear anything else about it. I can just shut down there because that's the end of it. I'm done. Yeah.
So long story short with my story, sent the letter home, told the kids, we discussed it, talked about how books are banned and stuff like that. Had a pretty good discussion. Kids kind of got like, okay, I see it. I get it. I understand it. Yeah. All right. I can ride with it. I don't want to see it. Are you going to read it when we read it? Are you going to say the word out loud? Like, no, I'm not going to say that word. Right. I'm not going to say word. No,
you know what you're going to do. We're going to read it out loud, and you're going to call on some poor white kid and say, no, okay, here we go.
I got to tell kids, like, don't say it. You see it. You know it's there. We all know it's there. The B word's in there. Don't say it.
But
GD's
they're
going to
say
there,
it.
Don't
they're
going to
be
it.
Like, no, it's in the book.
I'm going to be like, yeah, it is in the book, and I'm going to skip it. Or I'll play the audio book online and let that dude read it and say it. I'm not saying
you're still playing it in the classroom. I'm surprised you haven't
Here's the thing though. I was going to kids being kids, I'm sure that has nothing to do with the words being used. I actually take that back. Three or four kids told me specifically and brought the paper back that I signed to them to let their parents know we're reading it, and there's some language things in there and they need to know about it. Three or four kids came back with it being, no, my child cannot read this book because of the content of the book. Then I have another 80 kids who just didn't bring the note back.
Right.
So I can't read it. So we're going to find another book to read.
Okay.
Because I'm not, again, I told the kids, like, I don't want for that exact thing you just said.
You would be on the news.
Exactly.
I
said that.
You.
I said I would be on the news, and you'd have to answer, the principal, school board person, the superintendent would have to answer to a parent posting a Facebook post, calling a news station, asking why they're reading of Mice and Men. Like, they probably read of Mice and Men in high school when they were in high school. They didn't think anything of it, but now their kid can't. So I was like, I'm not doing it. True. I'm not doing it. I'm not in this cancel culture. Not doing it.
And that's, I remember reading it. Like, I don't remember page numbers or anything like that, but I mean, it's a pretty good book.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great story. I love the play. I would love to show the kids the movie. It's awesome. It's a great story, but it's got stuff in it.
You can't, yeah.
And if I just threw it out there willy-nilly, people are like, wow, you let your kids read that? Like,
yeah, that's what's bad is, like, you can't expose them to this literary art because of the fear of someone's going to get offended.
And again, it's been on the books for over 80 years now, almost 80 years, and it's been banned all over the country at various points in time,
right?
For various reasons. Sometimes it's the, like, I had a bigger. I told the kids straight up, like, yes, the N word's in it and it's bad. But guess what? I'm not gonna say it, but I know enough about the word and why it is. I have a bigger issue with the Lord's name being used in vain in a book and the way that it's used, and having to say that if I had to read it out loud. I have a bigger issue with that, or calling a female a bee. I have a bigger issue with that than I would feel more uncomfortable doing that than saying the N-word in a book.
Society today doesn't put near the stigma on either one of those.
Yeah.
And the parents, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that the parents that said, no, my kids aren't going to read this, more than likely did the same thing the kids said whenever it come up. Probably we're like, no, if that's in there, you're not going to read that. That's crazy.
Yeah. So
and that's, not that's know fine. The story.
I mean, thought, like, we'll just, some kid ruined it though anyway. He said, there's a Family Guy episode. Just check it out. Stewie kills Brian. Like, what? don't say that. Like, yeah, so just watch a Family Guy episode. So that kind of
so Family me. Guy is completely okay. There's Family nothing offensive or anything like that. In Family,
oh, Family
Guy
is offensive on purpose. Yeah, so
on so many levels.
But yeah, it's a good. So show. Yeah, so Major League Baseball's got some issues. The Astros are gonna be fun. Globe Life Park's being built in Arlington, right next to the old Globe Life Park,
where Globe Life the Field.
Dallas Renegades are 1-1 after beating the Los Angeles Wildcats in week 2 of the XFL.
Crazy. Andrew Jones, made
Andrew
his
Jones and Bob
debut.
Stoops have done it again.
Done it again.
Done it
okay.
again.
Yeah.
Old OU connection has made it, has paid off.
Don't pump it up like that. They couldn't hardly score the ball until they started running.
It's like you learn in Madden.
That's right. I did learn
so
that.
So just
in
like
Madden.
Basic football.
Yeah. Just basic back football. To the principles, the basics. What do we do?
So have you watched the game yet?
No.
Over the XFL?
I've watched two halves, but not of the same game.
Yeah. I think the XFL, again, last time I was here, we talked about it, about the start. So we didn't talk about the first week of the season, last week being the first weekend after the Super Bowl. And then this past weekend, Saturday and Sunday, was the second weekend. They already have a problem.
What
the
do
league,
you think?
In my opinion, the league already has some issues.
Okay, I'm sure they do, but what's your problem?
Points is the first thing. You mentioned points. Quarterback play.
Yeah.
I watched the 2-0, and I'm a Defenders fan. I'm going to be a DC Defenders fan. Pep Hamilton, who was at Michigan a few years back. Cardale Jones, still undefeated as a college professional player. He's 2-0 right now with the XFL.
Hold on, as a starter. What team is this?
The DC Defenders.
Okay.
The Washington DC Defenders. They beat the New York Guardians like 21-0.
All right.
And guess who the quarterback for the Guardians was?
Who? I don't remember.
Matt McGoin.
Okay. I remember Matt.
Yeah. Remember him going 4-for-12 in the first half?
No.
Here's the thing about the XFL. It's got some great things going for it. So, again, you get the camera on the sideline. As soon as you run out the sideline, there's someone on the sideline ready to interview you.
Right. Hey, what's going on?
Live.
What's
hey.
Up?
Yeah. So, no. And last week, a guy dropped the F-bomb talking about some stuff. And he's like, yeah, I was doing this. I was doing my effing job. And, like, it's live, and there was no delay.
That was the first week.
Yeah. So this past week, again, DC Defenders playing the New York Guardians, and they can't get it going. The Guardians cannot get it going.
Yeah, because they didn't do good the first week either.
No, they didn't do all that great. They won the game, though, but they didn't do that great.
Right.
They gave up a bunch of yards defensively. Anyway, at halftime, Mike McGloin against like 4-for-12 for like 44 yards and 2 picks. And they go to the sideline, and the sideline reporter is like, hey, Matt, what do you think we had to do in the second half? What adjustments do you think you need to make? And the dude on live TV says this: we need to throw out our entire game plan and come up with a brand new, entirely different game plan. Our game plan sucks.
You can't argue with that.
You can't necessarily argue with it because, like, he was by himself. Like, the team wouldn't talk to him and nothing like that. Like, he was kind of, like, ostracized.
Right.
Either to himself or someone else. And he's like, what should you do the second half to make adjustments? Throw out the playbook and try again completely. And, like, in the locker room, it's only 10-minute halftime. And, like, he's still in there talking about, just scrap the entire playbook and start over from the scratch because this sucks and we don't know what we're doing with this. And at one point, it was, forget the guy's name. Gosh, he was with the New York Giants, McBride. He was the offensive coordinator with the Giants for a while.
McBride?
I want to make sure I get his name right.
Yeah, don't screw up his name. But anyway, what did he say while you're looking up his name? Tell me what he said.
He basically said, not on live TV, but they come out at the halftime and, the coach basically takes him to the side and is like, hey, you can't say this crap in the locker room in front of our guys. Hey, you can't talk about the game plan and how the packages I've installed for this week. You can't say that in front of these guys. You can't do that. You need to quit sucking and play the game like I expect you to play it. So, like, the coach basically said to personally to the quarterback, my game plan's fine. You suck.
Right.
You fix it.
Yeah,
you're not doing what I need you to do.
You're not executing my playbook.
Yeah.
I'm as good as you. Okay.
Kevin McGilbride. Don't have that. McBride. Gilbride. No, Bride was in it. Kevin okay. Gilbride. He's the head coach. But, man, they are. It's interesting, but, yeah, quarterback play is okay, but, like, just.
Okay, Cardale Jones was the first quarterback to throw for over 300 yards.
Yeah, they need names. They need name recognition. That's the issue. Yes, they do.
Look, here's the deal.
They need name recognition.
It's just going to take a little while for everything to get clicking, man.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It just is, and I don't know, man. You're not going to have – they want explosive offenses. That's what they want.
Yeah.
Guess what? That's what Dallas was trying to do. They were trying to throw the ball. Like I said, he had 300-and-something yards. It didn't do him a bit of good. It's just like our Madden football mm-hmm. games. I could triple you in yardage. It doesn't matter if you have more points at the end. So when Dallas went back to running the football was when they scored because they hadn't scored a touchdown all year. Yeah.
And the issue, like, so that's the first issue is, like, they need names.
So all they know, defensive coordinators know, all I got to do is put a little pressure on the passer and drop everybody back into coverage because everybody wants to throw the ball.
Yeah. And so the first thing is quarterback. They need names. Like, he hate me. They need a he hate me.
No, they don't need that.
They need a name that you could recognize. They need some names. But I think Cardale Jones is one of those
kinda.
Dudes.
Kinda.
I think quarterbacks like him – and other dudes, like they tried, like Eli Rogers was the guy they mentioned Saturday. Apparently his mom passed away. His grandmother passed away. I think it was his mom. No, it was his mom. Wide receiver for the DC DC Defenders. His mom passed away. The game and his mom's funeral were the same day.
And he played.
And he played football.
Yep. He said he'd go home and see his family, that this is what his mom, you know, they had a great relationship. Yeah. Had a relationship that... You know, this is what he would have done.
You got dudes who had three ACL tears in his career trying to play football again.
Yeah.
There's stories left and right about
these chance, guys. And if you don't play, you don't get paid.
Yeah, like, and I saw a funny tweet that the XFL put out. They're like, hey, week two, we just paid all of our players this week. Like, I think the league is going to be fine. I think. The issue they're going to run into, again, is name recognition, trying to find, you know, get enough points on the board to make it entertaining.
Who's the quarterback from Houston? I have not looked at them yet.
I have not seen the Houston play.
He's probably top one or two quarterbacks in the league. He's got a little Patrick Mahomes in him. I want to say it's P.J. Walker.
So, looking at Yahoo Sports, they've ranked every XFL quarterback after 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
This was written by Ian Harteritz. Cardale Jones is number one. PJ Walker from mm-hmm. Houston's two.
Yep.
It says here, biggest strength, offensive scheme is a perfect fit. Biggest weakness, struggles when forced to get rid of the ball quickly. In most telling stat, he has the league best 108.5 QB.
Yeah, he's more of a run around, make something happen.
Yeah,
type of guy.
Jordan Tamaya.
Yeah,
he's for it's the not C- Battle Hawk, St. Louis. Josh Johnson. Wow, he's in this. Okay,
mm-hmm.
He's with the LA Wildcats. Landry Jones for the Dallas Roughnecks. Dallas Renegades. His biggest strength: accuracy. Biggest weakness: coverage recognition. Brandon Silvers, he's with the Seattle Dragons. Quentin Flowers, the Tampa Bay Vipers, they suck. Marquise Williams, he's the New York Guardians. Yeah. Yeah. Matt McGoin, oh my gosh, he is so bad. Aaron Murray he's also with the Vipers. He's not
Aaron Murray good. Had a good college career with Georgia. Yeah,
but he's not doing too hot in the XFL. Matt McGoin. It says here, Matt McGoin, greatest strength, experience. What do you think his greatest weakness is?
I don't know.
Pretty much everything else.
No, he doesn't.
That's what's based on this rough, article. Man. That's what they said. He's ranked 10th. His experience is his greatest strength. His biggest weakness is pretty much.
Just so I know, how many teams are there?
Oh crap! I want to say eight.
His
18th,
and he's ranked the 10th best quarterback.
Yeah, so he's like his backups ranked above him. I think this guy, dudes have played so far. Like,
well, I know
Aaron, like there's two, for example. So there's two Tampa Bay Viper quarterbacks.
There should be two Dallas quarterbacks. Because the one from the first week, Jones didn't play the first week. Landry Jones didn't play the first week. He was hurt.
Yeah.
So that's why I was wondering. He's 10th best quarterback.
Man, yeah.
It's pretty funny. I could see your boy Johnny Football getting a shot.
Why are all these A&M dudes my boy?
Well, I mean, they're just all your boy.
Okay.
You're a big Johnny fan.
Oh, I was a somewhat Johnny fan of college.
Here's some news for you. In a finding, the medical board has come up and said in Ohio, they ruled that being a Bengals and Browns fan is not a medical reason to qualify for medicinal marijuana.
Wow.
But they took it to them, and they almost got it, but they didn't approve
it. Wow. That's funny.
That sucks, man. That's funny. Just look at how bad, I mean.
And the Cavaliers are getting rid of their basketball coach.
He wants to leave
Yeah, I would.
So too. Bad he wants to leave.
He's like, I left Michigan for this.
Yeah, he's like, Boeheim, I was doing things in college.
Boeheim, whatever his name is.
Boeheim,
yeah. I left Michigan.
No, it's not. It's Belima or something.
Beeline. Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
I left Michigan for this. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So let's talk about that real quick, because before I get my wife dinner, because she's like, where are you at? The All-Star Game, NBA All-Star Game weekend. NBA All-Star weekend. Apparently, it's a pretty fun weekend.
Okay. Hands down, I'm just going to put it out there. The best quarter of freakishly athletic, awesome defense I've ever seen from NBA players.
And an All-Star game.
Period. Oh, okay. Not All-Star game.
Wow, okay.
Finals, Game 7, whatever you want to call it. That level of defense, I am not kidding, dude. You need to go back and watch the fourth quarter. Like, there was $100,000 up for grabs in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
They tied 41-41. So then they went from whatever their score was, I think Team Giannis was up like 17 three or four points. Points. Oh, well, they were up like three or four, something like that, and then they played to 156 total score.
Yeah.
156-157.
Yeah.
So that's the fourth quarter, is you have to play to 157 from where you're at.
Yeah.
And, man, people locked in, personal defenders. It was so crazy. There's a block that Giannis did on LeBron on the glass that was better than his chase down block in the finals.
No way.
Better. Go look it up.
I'll find it.
You've got to see the highlights, man. I'm telling you, most intensive defense I've ever seen from NBA athletes.
So if you didn't know this already, because again, I had to look this up because a kid brought this to my attention. What the league decided to do this year, Adam Silver, and apparently he caught some flack for it before the All-Star weekend, and now he's like the greatest.
The players bought in, man.
Yeah, now he's like the greatest commissioner ever. Rob Manfred sucks.
I kind of think that maybe the players had some other stuff riding on this. I don't know what it is, but it wouldn't surprise me if there wasn't some side stuff for how hard they were playing, and I mean, for real.
Yeah, so the idea was every quarter, you would play by quarter, and then the winning team, Giannis, team LeBron, whoever won the quarter, whoever scored the most points per quarter would win $100,000 for a charity of their choice. So I'm team Giannis, Boehm is team LeBron. First quarter, I score 52 points. He scores 48 points. I won the first quarter. Second quarter, scores reset back to zero.
See, now I didn't think they started that till the third quarter.
No, they did it every quarter. And then they just added the points up. But every quarter you're just trying to score the who scored the most points per quarter.
Now hold on. Now look that up. Look that up and verify the scoring and how it goes. Because it was my understanding the third quarter was that way and they tied. So that rolled over to the fourth quarter. And the fourth quarter when these guys were playing, it was for 400 grand to one charity and 100 grand to the other.
Let me see. Scoring, not scores. See, the way I read it for was the way I explained it.
Because I think the first half wasn't that way.
So the 2020, this is on Bleacher Report. I don't just want to see the article, dude. This was on Bleacher Report on January 30th. New All-Star scoring. Says here by Joseph Tucker. Again, Bleacher Report. Rather than rolling the points over like a normal game, scores after each of the first three quarters will reset. The winner of the respective quarter will receive $100,000 to be donated to the charity of its choice. The winning team will receive another $200,000 to be donated to charity.
Okay.
So, I mean, it may have been different. So they said in the fourth quarter, what they did was heading into the fourth quarter, the team's points to the first three quarters are then combined, which helps set up the final tour score, set up the final target score, a new tweak for 2020. The final target score is 24 points added to the point total for the team with the lead. So the way they explain it is this. If in three quarters, you scored the score after three quarters is 95 to 100, the target score would be 124.
Right.
Because the leading team would have 100 points, so add 24 points to it.
Yeah.
So the losing team at that point would have to score more points than the winning team to overcome.
Right.
Yeah. So, and there's, the clock would be turned off. To guarantee him a team hits the final target score, thus ensuring, this is funny, ensuring that the 2020 All-Star game will conclude with a game-winning shot. Except, it kind of happened.
It totally happened. What are you talking about?
But I think they wanted the final shot like somebody like hitting a three-pointer to
win
the game.
Well, it won't end with a defensive stand.
Yeah. So
what they're saying. So like, there has to be a shot.
So how did the game end? That's what I'm saying. But how did the game end?
A free throw.
Yeah.
The game first time winning ever. Shot.
Yeah, I'm game not saying, but shot. Like, it was a free throw. Like, no one's on
not
the
only
court.
That, he got two free throws, he missed the first one.
Yeah, so I'm
he
check
says it. On purpose, I don't necessarily.
I'm gonna check the that. Highlights. Apparently, yeah, I saw that. And I was
yeah,
like,
I'm telling you, just for the defense.
Between I mean, that and the NBA, I don't know the rising star thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Well,
the NBA versus the world, rookies versus the world. That
I
thing.
Was hoping Luka had a little bit bigger hand in this game, but it was pretty much all the All-Star starters for LeBron's team,
mm-hmm.
minus Luka, add Chris Paul. It's kind of the team.
I saw him out there. He just like got a rebound or two, and he just kind of threw it around. Whoever dribbled the ball down the court, threw it to somebody, and they shot it.
Yeah, I mean, I think LeBron kind of.
And that's why I didn't watch it. Because the first quarter, like I told you, we were talking to you and your wife.
Hey.
First quarter, like, I watched it, and, like, literally, dudes were, like, taking off from the ticket. Dudes would start in a half sprint from the three-point line, drop to the basket, and every defender would be like, oh, okay, you're going to do this? That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch you do it.
They saved theirself because.
Yeah,
because
apparently the fourth quarter was awesome.
I'm telling you, the intensity was there. Who was it? Kyle Lowry took two or three charges, one of which was LeBron full speed coast to coast in the lane.
He took the charge in the All-Star game.
Got trucked in the All-Star game. The other one was on what would have been the game winning shot from Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Leaned into him and pushed off. He flopped. Harden looked at him on the ground, went to shoot the three, and the ref blew a late whistle for the charge there. Harden makes the three, would have been game over.
Wow. See, I got to watch this. See, you just ruined that for me. So I'll watch it.
I'm just telling you, man.
I'll watch that. I'll watch the slam dunk contest again because I didn't watch the other dude dunk. I just heard about Aaron Gordon getting ripped off. And, yeah, people are upset about it. And apparently there's like a quasi-conspiracy about who should – about how the dunk scores were set up because someone said something stupid and how, you know, they should have been that many nines given to as a score. Like, so y'all like you're like colluding. Was it colluding? Yeah, colluding to pick a winner before they even do it. Like, is a set number 9 and a set number 10 you had to give? Like, what are y'all doing?
Yeah, that's
it's like Major League Baseball all over again.
Well, I mean, wasn't that a deal to where Dwayne Wade and Kenny Smith had to get to Dwayne Wade's Spades tournament?
I don't know, probably.
I heard that. I heard
I'm sure that's true, too.
That they had to go, and Kenny's like, ah, they won't let me in if I don't get there. And he's like, no, I got you. We'll be out of here in time.
Yeah.
And
so I'll watch that again. So I didn't know. I didn't. Apparently, there was a skills competition. Who won the 3-point contest? I looked it up for you folks.
Somebody you're not going to think did.
Apparently Trae Young like stunk it up.
He had 10 assists in 10 minutes in the All-Star game though.
I still have to go with the fact that the NBA should have a NBA Jam style game. 2-on-2, every team in the league gets their two best players and
Joe Harris.
Buddy Hield,
there you go.
And then Bam Adebayo was the skills competition. So
yeah, that's the kid from the Heat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Harris won last.
Trae Young got eliminated in the first round. So Buddy Hield. He was lighting it up at just like Trae Young, he was lighting it up at Oklahoma a few years back. So
yeah, maybe more than Trae Young, really. Yeah. But
so
he's not quite Trae Young.
No.
Hey, how about that trade? I still love Luka, but I mean, I think either one of those guys you got, you wound up being okay. Luka's going to be a better franchise player. Trae Young's still a heck of a young player.
Yeah,
made the All-Star game. I mean, crazy, crazy talented. But anyway, you need to go home. That's like your homework before next week. I promise when you watch that, you will text me and go, oh, my God.
I'll do it when I get home, which will be in the next few minutes because my wife has already sent me 3 texts. Where are you at? I want my chicken.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up then.
So, again, check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, and all that good stuff. Podomatic, iTunes, everywhere you can listen to podcasts. It's the Second Base with Bowman and Burks.
We're out.